I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the best of every day now officially underway. It's Moneyline Radio on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's your boy DRS on a solo mission for the next hour. My job is to prep you for this weekend's action in the NFL. You saw a game last night, which we will get to in just a moment. Three games on Saturday, not all that exciting. Sunday, some pretty good stuff. Monday Night Football, maybe we get some sparks in a total that's about 50.5 points between the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, but we're here, we're now. Let's get into some of these hot topics that we love to go through. And also, shout out to people in the chat box. Been fantastic this entire season as we wind down in the NFL playoffs, college football playoffs going on. We got to wait just a few more days for them to get started back on December 31st, which is New Year's Eve, and also New Year's Day. Some pretty good action there, some lines movement, double digits here. Do we get points scored? We'll find out. But if you want to watch us live here on the radio, you head over to Sports Grid On Demand. That's on our YouTube channel. You click the subscribe button. You get into the chat box. You say hello. You share information. You want to reach out to the host on the radio. That is the best way to do it. Also, where apps are available, make sure you go get the Sports Grid app, the single best app in the sports industry to keep you updated on all the latest, which includes the shows, the radio shows, highlights, bets, whatever you want, you can find it there. Also, sportsgridradio.com and sportsgrid.com. So many ways to cover, so many ways to get in touch with us, so many ways to listen and watch. But let's get started on what we saw last night. Boy, oh boy, the NFL isn't giving us much to love at this point. And sometimes it happens, like the war of attrition, we like to say, because players who play football now entering into the 16th, 17th, and 18 weeks of the season, they're banged up, they're bloodied, they're injured. Some teams jockeying for playoff position. Some teams don't want to win because they don't want to mess up their draft position. And it feels like we're getting that now. But to be honest, we shouldn't have had that on Wednesday. Chiefs 29, Steelers 10, blowout. Close to three touchdowns as a margin there. Thought the Steelers would get better effort. They didn't. The Ravens going up against the Texans who have already clinched their division, but still playing for possible seeding and still two games left in the season. Routed by the Ravens 31-2. Numbers were there on Christmas because it was Christmas Day. We're all going to watch football, and we understand that. Those were bad games. They weren't supposed to be. They were two quality opponents going at each other in both of those games. But last night was that true test that we were going to find out. To be honest, the past couple games that we've had haven't been all that great on prime time. I mean, in the past 2 weeks, we've now had two football games that didn't even see a touchdown. Think about that. In the NFL. Not like, hey, we had one back in week two, now we had one week. Like, back-to-back weeks just about where we didn't see a touchdown. The San Francisco-Los Angeles game, which you thought might add some fireworks, did have some bad weather conditions. Nobody scored a touchdown. Fast forward to last night. Even worse game. 6-3 final. There were three field goals made in that game. There wasn't a single point scored in the second half. Just looking at the box score from last night. Disgraceful. Geno Smith, 17 of 23 for 160 yards. Should have thrown a red zone interception that was just dropped, but he didn't. Passer rating 92, QBR 47.1. Zach Charbonnet, who started out the game running extremely well, only finished with 15 for 57. Kenny McIntosh, 7 for 46. Flip it over to the other side. Caleb Williams, 16 of 28 for 122 yards total. 4.4 yards per average per pass attempt. Sacked 7 times. A QBR rating of 24.4. DeAndre Swift, 4.4 yards per carry. Caleb had a couple carries in the second half, which I bet live in that game, which is great. Needed to go over 12.5 yards. He got that easily. Wide receiver position. DJ Moore, 8 targets, 6 catches, 54 yards. That's okay. Look at the rest of the crew. DeAndre Swift, 4 catches for 28 yards out of the backfield. One of those catches was a 24-yard catch. So he had 3 catches for 4 yards after that one. Keenan Allen, 5 for 25 on 8 targets. Roma Dunze, 1 for 15 on four targets. Did catch a touchdown pass that was called back on a holding call that was correct. But what is the deal with the Chicago Bears? My goodness. You want to talk about a team that was 4-2 with a Hail Mary incoming, where if they just play correctly, bat the football down, don't have a spy on Jaden Daniels because you think he's going to run for a 50-yard touchdown, they would have moved to 5-2 and away they go on their season. But now you see the Bears' record. 4-12. That's 10 straight losses for the Bears. Thomas Brown, who was an assistant coach entering into the season, elevated to offensive play caller, elevated to interim head coach, has been absolutely abysmal during this 10-game stretch. He can't coach at all. His offensive philosophy, don't know what it is. The fact of the matter is, when you look at the Bears, and we'll get to Seattle in just a second, but look at the Bears. Talent at running back, check. Solid tight end, check. Wide receiving core, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. What more do you want? Quarterback drafted number one overall, supposed to be a generational talent. Covers the numbers across the board. This is what you want. How does this offense absolutely stink out loud? 7 sacks yesterday, and it was almost apparent because we were on the set yesterday for Pro Football Today, as we are for every primetime game, which is every Monday and Thursday primetime game, I should say. We're not on the air on Sunday night. But watching that game, it was just maddening to see. Zero blitzes constantly coming at Caleb Williams. And honestly, it looked like they had no idea how to block, and Caleb Williams had no idea what he was looking at. Because we can't compare Caleb Williams to the previous greats, Tom Brady's, the Peyton Mannings, you know, the Aaron Rodgers for a while. When they saw a zero blitz, you heard them audibly at the line change the play call, adjust the protection, and slice up defenses to the point where it's like, it doesn't make sense, and you just can't blitz those great players because they have the advantage at that point by knowing where the blitz is coming from. How many times did you watch last night the Chicago Bears offensive line and Caleb Williams hike the ball a snap and an absolute jailbreak across the line of scrimmage? Or if you figured he, talking about Caleb Williams, had time in the pocket, dancing around, resetting his feet constantly, spinning around in circles, doing pirouettes, and taking sacks. What's the deal? Because you might have thought last year with the Chicago Bears, like, dude, what did you want Justin Fields to do? He's got no weapons. He has nothing to work with. He's just trying to make things happen. That's not the case this year with the Bears. Legitimate weapons across the board, and they have no idea how to utilize them. How about throwing a couple deep shots in that game? How about taking a couple rips deep? Now, there was a play early in the game that was to Rome Odunze. Plenty of time in the pocket, piston feet over there, Caleb Williams hammering the ground instead of just staying flat-footed. Rips a target over the middle, 15 yards over the head of Rome Odunze, which is probably a 40-yard play to start that game. But that's just one of so many plays, and regression is real because if you are not coaching these young players, they get into really bad habits. And Thomas Brown, maybe the worst interim coach I've seen. The Jets got all brick. Well, at least sometimes they look competent. But from an offensive perspective, Thomas Brown calling these plays and, I guess, getting the game plans together, absolutely trash. Shout out Akbar in the chat box, and you're checking in with us. Love the chat box. Keep it going. But we're focused on the Bears right now and where it all went wrong and how it has to change in the offseason. But it's maddening to me where you have everything. It used to be like, you know, it's like, here, kitty, 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 when the blitz comes. Like, you love it. You light up as a quarterback in an offensive line. You shift the protections. You know who's coming. You make the proper sight adjustments. Same thing with the wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. And you saw none of that from the Bears. Like, they scored 3 points last night, and it feels like that was a gift to get even 3 points. They were so bad on offense all the way through. Just waiting for them to wake up. Now, betting-wise last night, no harm, no foul. Didn't lose any money. Didn't win any money. The bet I probably liked the best yesterday was the Bet365 prop, both of the quarterbacks to throw one touchdown pass or more. It was like a minus 225 boost to the plus 100. Up in flames. Horrendous. But we did hit a couple plays in-game, which made it worth our while to at least watch and hang out. And maybe the best part about that game, ended pretty early, so your boy DRS was able to get home. Jordan P. in the chat box, everybody letting loose. Stani writes out on a Football Friday, let's get after it. Right after these words. Why? Because it's what we do on the Sports Grid Network. We get you prepared for weekend football, which I'll do next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Seems like just a few weeks ago, what were we talking about? Excuse me, months ago. Oh, man, can't wait for the NFL to start. Now the NFL is winding down. My goodness, what are we going to do with ourselves? You know what I was thinking, too, because Super Bowl is coming up. You know, early in February, once that hits, it's like, okay, football season is done. What do you do? And you pick your head up. And it's like, we're roughly a month away from Major League Baseball starting. It feels like Major League Baseball, you know, was, you know, just got done just a few days ago at this point. It's crazy. It's wild stuff. Akbar, Jordan, Chris, Chai Picks, all in the chat box here, having some fun here. If you want to get in on the fun, Sports Grid on demand, go find it. Click the subscribe button. Hit the stream to watch it live now. You can do it. You can have some fun. You can join the show. Love it. Three games on Saturday. But before we get there, Seattle, I mean, they're going to have to wait on the Rams to see what they do on Saturday. But my goodness, like you say, you know, they got some talent. They got a pretty good home field advantage. That team stinks too, man. My goodness. What happened to the NFC West? Seattle improves, quote unquote, after that victory to 9-7 now on the season. Point differential in the year, +2. They looked atrocious. So did Geno Smith. I know Chicago's an okay defense, not a great defense. Same thing with Seattle. But just no juice in that game at all. Advantage Rams, I guess you could say, clearly the best team in that division. We'll see how it plays out down the stretch, which we're going to get into next. And by the way, the Saturday night game is the Cardinals and the Rams. We'll get to that in just a few moments. First game on the docket tomorrow in New England. Chargers going from West Coast to East Coast. That line opened up at 4.5 points. Actually, you know what? Let me double check to see when that line actually opened here. Line opened up at 5.5 points. Moved around quite a bit this week. 4.5 at most outlets here, which includes the FanDuel Sportsbook, DraftKings, BetMGM, Bet365 here in New Jersey, and then also out on the Westgate in Vegas. Drake May taking on Justin Herbert. Nothing really to play for the New England Patriots, other than just continuing the good vibes for your quarterback. You're 3-12. You lost 5 games in a row. You probably want to lose another game. Your point differential in the season is a -102. Gerard Mayo probably coming back next year, but the focus certainly been on the Los Angeles Chargers as they try to make a run to the playoffs, sitting at 9-6 with a must-win game on deck for them. So we look at some of the prop bets coming into that game. Do you like a side per se? Chargers should be able to win that game, but it is a road game, East Coast, West Coast. It is a shorter work week per se, but also at the same time, it's those West Coast teams coming east for a 1 o'clock game sometimes messes with the body clock. Touchdown scorers in this game. Ramondre Stevenson leads the way. And by the way, these are the games that you look at with these touchdown props here. It's kind of nice because Ramondre Stevenson is the highest number on the board. Usually that's -180, -220, -240. Stevenson's a +145. Flip it over to the other side. Ladd McConkey, +165. Quentin Johnston, who can't catch a cold, he's a +230. Joshua Palmer, +250. Stone Smart, +260. Now, why am I not seeing any running back props here for them? Are we that banged up? Let me go to the practice reports here for the Chargers real quick, because I must be missing something where they don't want to give any props on the backs here, at least on FanDuel. So let's go to the Chargers practice report, updated last yesterday. J.K. Dobbins, full practice yesterday. By the way, is he going to be activated off the IR? I haven't been paying all that much attention to that. Oh, there we go. Gus Edwards, who is out with an ankle injury, so that opens everything up. So that's why. So like again, if J.K. I wonder if J.K. Dobbins even had a chance to play. Because this week he went limited Tuesday, limited Wednesday, full practice Thursday. And if that window is open for the IR, he can be activated at any time. So a lot of things in flux in that game. So if we move on from, let's just say, we don't know who's going to score per se. Passing props on that game, Drake May, 221.5. Justin Herbert, 233.5. Passing touchdowns, both of these guys with big plus money numbers, particularly with Drake May, over 1.5 touchdown passes, +188. Justin Herbert over 1.5 at +104. Receiving props, obviously the way is going to be led by Ladd McConkey at 70.5. Quentin Johnston, 36.5. Palmer, 33.5. Not great options across the board. And then you have that salt shaker on the other side. It's like, hey, whatever comes out, maybe somebody wins. Keyshawn Boutte, 39.5. DeMario Douglas, 32.5. Kendrick Bourne, 22.5. Cooper, 24.5. I mean, come on now. You see what I mean? That's a tough game all the way. And by the way, after a couple poor showings on primetime spots, including Christmas Day and yesterday in the NFL, this game certainly doesn't inspire a whole lot of fun. Game number two, we could have some fireworks because the Cincinnati Bengals and the Denver Broncos still trying to make the playoffs. So if we look from a Bengals side of things, 7-8 on the season, Denver Broncos 9-6 on the season, -3 is a favorite towards the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm just looking at FanDuel props on this one. I do lean towards the Bengals, to be honest. I like what the Broncos are doing. But you know me. I like the Broncos when they are favored to beat teams because it seems like that's their MO. Looking at the Denver Broncos, lost to the Chargers, 34-27. But before that, four straight wins, Falcons, Raiders, Browns, Colts, favored in all of those games. We're supposed to win those games. Now they're not favored, but they do have a layup, it appears, in Week 18. And that's a game against the Chiefs who have everything wrapped up. You won't see Mahomes. You won't see Pacheco. You're not going to see Travis Kelce. You're not going to see Xavier Worthy. You get the point? That should be a win for them. So how much do you say for the Broncos? Now, granted, Sean Payton's been around the block, coached many games, playoff games, Super Bowl champion. There's no way he's going into this game going, hey, guys, this one doesn't really matter all that much. The one next week, which is the layup that we should get, we should be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Not buying that. You're going to get a pretty good result here in this game from an honest effort on both sides. 49.5 does have a chance to come in. Touchdown props. Jamar Chase is -150. Patrick Surtain, I want to see if he follows him around in this game. Because if he does, that leaves things open on the opposite sides. Like T. Higgins, +150. Chase Brown on the ground, -145. Flip it over to the opposite side, which is the Denver side. +155 touchdown for Sutton. Williams +170. Yossi Vosh back to the Bengals at +240. So there's a lot of different props you can head that way. But if you said, Donnie, give me two touchdown props in that game that you like, it's actually Chase Brown and T. Higgins for me, to be honest. It is. Passing props, Joe Burrow 271.5. Going up against pretty solid defense in Denver, but that hasn't stopped him all season. Bo Nix 230.5. You know he can throw the football against that bad defense. Wonder how that one winds up. Touchdown passes, which Joe Burrow throws every week, multiple touchdowns. You say, oh, look at this, +162. Oh, that's fantastic. Not necessarily. It's 2.5 touchdown passes for Joe Burrow now. He doesn't even get the 1.5 pricing on FanDuel. Bo Nix, over 2 touchdowns, 1.5. See how that one plays out. Receiving props on the other side. Sutton, Chase, Mix, Franklin. We'll find out. More football next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
They say there's a chance, people. Denver and Cincinnati. Denver's got a pretty good look at the playoffs. If we're looking at the playoff predictor, no playoff chance, 18%, which means 82% chance of making the playoffs for the Broncos. The Chargers, 3% no playoff chance, which means 97% they should be in. So when we flip it down to the Bengals are at a, 98% clip for no, which means 2% on the yes. That's crazy town right there. Where there's a will, there's a way, people. How about that? Bengals still playing for something, even though we don't think they're getting in. And all, you know what's funny about that? If you ask people again, like, who do you want to see make the playoffs in the AFC? Don't a lot of us, outside of our fandom of teams that you might be rooting for, let's just per se the Broncos, which I'm not a fan of, so obviously I'm not rooting for them. But don't we want to bet and see the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs? Like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. The defense is bad. You're expecting points. You can get unbelievable quarterback play at any moment. You know what I mean? Like, I would love for the Bengals to make the playoffs, to be honest. Don't think they're going to, but I do think they win on Saturday against the Denver Broncos. That total sits at 49.5 points. Check some weather conditions there in Cincinnati. 60 degrees. Precipitation, 10%, so not expecting any rain. Wind speeds, 4 miles per hour. Beautiful. Beautiful. You should be slinging it all over the lot there between Denver and Cincinnati. Night game? Great game? Probably not. Arizona and Los Angeles. Again, going back to the playoff predictor. Let's see what we have here for the Rams.
not even, why aren't they even listed in this? It's kind of crazy. Look at that. My phone just kicked in here and tried to answer questions for me on the NFL playoff picture. That's pretty good. Yeah, I wonder what it says. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Texans, Steelers, Chargers, Broncos, Colts, Dolphins. Oh, just the, yeah, there we go. Smart move, Donnie. So just the AFC picture was popping up there. But if that night game, right? We were asked on the panel yesterday going around, who's the team that, you know, are these final teams trying to get into the playoffs? Who you like, you know what? Who would you trust more in the NFC, right? You might say, you know, it's good teams up top. We understand that. As I bring up the playoff picture right now. Let's see what happens. Eagles, Lions, Vikings, Packers. But then you have like the Commanders, Rams, Seahawks, Falcons, Buccaneers. I don't, for me, like forget about the Commanders, who I do think make the playoffs and get in. Rams, Seahawks, Falcons, and Buccaneers. If you had one of those teams to pick, who would it pick for you to win a playoff game? I think the answer is pretty simple for me. It's probably the Rams. Sean McVay, Super Bowl winning coach. Matthew Stafford, longtime All-Pro, headed probably for the Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champion quarterback. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, as good as you can get at wide receiver. Solid running game in Kyron Williams. Great defense? No. But if we're just looking at those teams, Atlanta Falcons, can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yes, they can come up big and win a football game. I get it. But for me, Seahawks completely out of it, even though they're 9-7. Technically better records than the Falcons and Bucks until they play this weekend in their football games. But for me, it's probably the Rams. Point differential in the season, minus 18. They didn't even play that good. But last four games, all victories. Surging ahead in the standings in the NFC West. And they have a game against the Arizona Cardinals, who the Cardinals are dead and buried right now. So they can't improve themselves. The only goal, I guess, over the final couple days of the season is to do what? Hey, maybe get Trey McBride a touchdown so he doesn't finish the season as a guy that gets a ton of yards, a ton of catches, and no touchdowns as a tight end. He should be the ultimate weapon in the red zone. But for that Saturday slate overall, it's not that great. Prop bet sides here from that game. I mean, who would you be looking for, right? Puka Nacua to get busy. Touchdown. Look, Kyron Williams is minus 270 to score a touchdown. Is he probably going to? Yes. Ridiculous price. No James Conner props because he's banged up a bit. Hoping to play. I believe he was saying that it's important to him to finish the season because he's never finished a season completely healthy. So I understand that. Puka Nacua minus 105 for a touchdown. Cooper Kupp plus 145. If we're looking at some of those passing props, Stafford 232.5. Kyler Murray 228.5. Rushing props, again, we're not going to see anything on James Conner possibly till tomorrow when we get that official. Is he good to go? Is he starting? Is he backing up? Is he limited? Kyler Murray, 28.5 rushing yards as a quarterback. Kyron Williams, 90.5. Blake Corum, 13.5. Receiving props, though, it's going to get everybody's attention. Puka, 86.5. No discounts there. Cooper Kupp, 47.5. Discounted there. Marvin Harrison Jr., 49.5. Trey McBride, 64.5. And so goes that list. Not a great Saturday here, but a lot of things will be determined and much more clarity in the playoff picture will come from Saturday. Now we flip it over to Sunday, see what's on that card. Boyd DRS solo, right here on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Into that Sunday NFL action list in just a few moments. Take a look at some of those props. Who needs what in those games? But just looking around, there is college football today. Five games on the slate. Oklahoma Navy starts it off at 12 p.m. Eastern. That game coming up in a half hour. Georgia Tech Vanderbilt, 3:30. Texas Tech Arkansas, 7 o'clock. Syracuse Washington State, 8 o'clock. 10:30 p.m. Texas A&M and USC. And it's not bragging. Like, I like college football quite a bit. The regular season is awesome. The college football playoff expansion, love every bit of it. Even though some of the teams I would have liked to see not in, some teams I would have seen get in, but here we are. We're expecting some pretty good football games over the next couple rounds as we try to crown a national championship. And hopefully it gets better in the future, tweak some of the things in the college football playoff, maybe expand another two teams, get rid of the byes, have more home games, as opposed to these meaningless neutral site games. But also, I know people understand and enjoy bowl season. I just don't anymore. Growing up as a kid, it was cool, man. even as much as 10 or 15 years ago. Much more in the college football bowl games because guys weren't opting out all that much. The stakes seemed a little bit higher. But for me, I just could care less. You look at games, like my team is Miami. They play tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. in the Pop-Tart Bowl against Iowa State. I won't watch a second of that. It's just meaningless football games just don't pique my interest. But I will watch, as I have, every single minute of the college football playoff, round one, which I did, round two, round three, championship game. I love it. It's meaningful football. Guys leaving it all out there. Don't care if there's blowouts because both teams are trying their hardest. You can get honest handicaps. The one thing I do know is time is very precious. From family life to handicapping to watching and what you spend your time doing. The one thing I'm not doing is following a ticker to see who's playing and not playing on a day-to-day basis in meaningless bowl games. And yes, you might say, Donnie, you're missing out some good football games that are playing. Rightfully so. Absolutely no interest whatsoever to watch games with a few hundred people in the stands where nobody gives a damn outside of hardcore gamblers who bet the football game and players that don't give a damn because they've already transferred out. I just won't watch it. Some people like it. I can't stand it. Bowl season to me, outside the college football playoff, I may watch for a few minutes out of how many games there are. And if I was commissioner and I had one wish left out of the genie bottle, we would detonate every one of these bowl games. They would never be played again. We'd go to like Division III, which I think has 40 teams in the college football playoff. Division II, FCS, all have way more teams than 12, 14, or 16 to get in. We would lose every bowl game and put them into meaningful playoff games. But outside of that, bowl season is just, it's not even dying. It's absolutely dead. Again, outside of the hardcore gambler, not a single person is watching these games. And I'm telling you this right now. It's not just, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If you people out there, fans, you're telling me it's like, hey, you know what? I got some things to do on Saturday, but I got to get home for Texas Tech, Arkansas, and I'm not even betting that football game. Stop it. Oklahoma Navy, can you name any of the starters for Oklahoma today? Is there anybody left playing in that game against Navy in the Armed Forces Bowl? Is anybody outside of an Oklahoma fan or Navy fan like, I have to sit down and watch, and I'm not a gambler, but I want to watch Oklahoma Navy? No. Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt? Nobody gives a damn about that game. Texas Tech, Arkansas? Are the fan bases even showing up to these games? Syracuse, like Washington State got in? I haven't even heard anything out of Washington State this year, even though they even play. Hey, the Pac-2 played. Horrible team. And by the way, Syracuse is laying 18.5 points at some outlets to Washington State. So again, if you're not a fan of the schools, nobody's watching that game. A&M, USC, and hey, that's got brand recognition. Terrible. 10:30 game. Ain't nobody watching on the East Coast. Stop it. Friday night, go out and spend time with your loved ones at that point. But again, my point, these teams should all be included, or most of them, into a college football playoff. Bowl season is done. The games stink. You want to enjoy it and bet it? Love it, man. Enjoy your life. Grab a pizza. Grab a little Jack and Coke. Watch these games tonight. Fire bets in left and right. You can have fun with that. But from a pure college football standpoint, bowl season is absolutely horrendous. Horrendous. Meaningless football that, again, if you said tomorrow you can run to be commissioner of the NCAA, my first thing, day one, like when you become president, day one, you could start signing, you know, presidential decrees and list of notes. Bowl season would be gone the minute I became commissioner of college football. There would be no out-of-conference games in college as well. You'd have a 10-game schedule maximum. Then you go into a playoff, which would have at least 32 football teams, and away you would go. College football under your boy DRS would rival NFL ratings. That's how we would get down, because we would lose all this meaningless stuff, as I should say. But you know what else is meaningless? A lot of these football games are going to be played on Sunday, too, in the NFL. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is it 9? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, 9 games are going to be played on Sunday. Games of meaning? Not very much. Indianapolis plays a game against the New York Giants, who, good luck on who their quarterback is going to be. Anthony Richardson, the game we're all going to play at this point, is what? is going to throw for more than five completions in that game. They are going to smash the Giants, by the way. The one thing I can appreciate about the Giants' season is here. They know it's against the goodness of that franchise to win anything at any time. They're going to get blown out the final two games. Specifically, if the Eagles somehow come up short against the Cowboys, they'll detonate the Giants in that final game, 41-0. Which I don't want to see happen, because that means the Eagles lost against the Cowboys and then can't take that de facto bye in Week 18 with their players and have to go full tilt. But that game stinks out loud. You know what? Let me see what some of those props are, though. I do want to see what we have for the Indianapolis Colts, because quite frankly, they might be getting after it again. Like, Jonathan Taylor's back on it, people. You didn't watch him lately? Shot out of a cannon. Just needs to carry that football across the goal line. 97.5 is his number for rushing. 45.5 for Anthony Richardson. What about his passing props, man? .76. Seems high for Richardson, doesn't it? Seems pretty high. Drew Lock, .90. What a bad football game. But at least it's 1 o'clock and there's other games surrounding it, so you can tune in and tune out. Because why? Oh, man. Game number two on Sunday afternoon, it's Vegas and it's New Orleans. You got to be kidding me, man. Vegas opened up as a 2-point dog. They're now favorites now because of how bad New Orleans was in that primetime game against the Packers. Like, New Orleans is home against a horrendous team in Vegas. But did you see New Orleans operate? Looked like Spencer Rattler never played a football game in his entire life. He was that bad against Green Bay on the road. Shut out, beat by 30-plus points. Where are you guys going with that game? Like, is that a opportunity for some prop bets? Vegas versus New Orleans? Boy, that game stinks. Like, those first two games feel like it's bowl season here in the NFL. Like, meaningless football games just to get your guys some looks out here. My goodness. 37.5 is a total. There's going to be 37.5 total yards in that game. Oof. You ready for another barn burner, people? 1 o'clock? Tennessee-Jacksonville. Who Jacksonville went on the road last week. By the way, shout out my guy Mac Jones. Got me over that 205.5 number. Love you. Shout out my guy Brian Thomas Jr., who I needed him to go over 60-some-odd yards in that game. 68, 69 yards. Flash, bang, boom, deep touchdown catch. Love him. But outside of that, Tennessee and Jacksonville. Mac Jones, Mason Rudolph, 1.5-point favorite for Jacksonville at home. Any weather conditions? Oh, and how about this, boys? Heavy rain expected for Titans-Jags. Wind speed's around 12 miles an hour, but 75 degrees. Look at those first three games, people, on Sunday. Colts-Giants, Raiders-Saints, Titans-Jaguars. Is this professional football? Are we even talking about the pros at this point? No idea. A couple more games go on Sunday. We'll get through. Trust me, there are a few good games. It just doesn't feel like it. Your boy DRS on a Football Friday, the Sports Grid Network. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bringing that fire, people. Sitting in the number two seed currently right now in the AFC is those Buffalo Bills. The Kansas City Chiefs have clinched the number one overall seed. So now it's just up to the Buffalo Bills to try to stay in that two seed, which they're getting a little bit of push now here from the Baltimore Ravens. But I think Buffalo have to lose their final two games. And that head-to-head game with the Ravens smash the Bills would come into play. Don't think it is, but Buffalo does need to win. They do take on the New York Jets this weekend. The Jets are quite banged up. Aaron Rodgers, though, full practices this week, expected to play. But Josh Allen, just looking at that Buffalo scenario, looks like they're going to be full gas in this game. This line opened up, keep in mind, 9.5. 9.5 still at FanDuel, but 10s across the board at just about every other outlet. 48.5 is the total between the Jets and the Bills on Sunday. But that line that opened up at 48.5, most outlets now showing 46 is why? Because the East Coast, we just talked about Jacksonville, a lot of rain in the forecast. So for Orchard Park, Buffalo, rain, temperatures around 50 degrees, precipitation over 50% for most of the afternoon, and winds around 10 miles an hour. So an ugly game, which you figure Josh Allen would probably be able to rise to the occasion. Usually you'd say, like, you probably like points, but last week, the only bet I lost on Sunday was a team total on the Jets. So they scored a touchdown the first quarter, but couldn't do just about anything the rest of the way. A brutal franchise, brutal football team right now. But that is a large number in the rain. I do think the Buffalo Bills have a chance to cover it, but I would have liked it if it was 50 degrees, no rain, light winds. Then you probably could tack on about 50 points in that game because both teams will try to fire back and forth. But the healthier team, to be honest, is the Buffalo Bills in that game. A lot of juice, not necessarily, but Buffalo, as I said, does need to win. Another 1 o'clock game. Carolina heads to Tampa. Tampa in a must-win scenario, being priced accordingly. Line opened up at 8.5 in that game. Still sits at 8.5 at FanDuel. 7.5 at DraftKings. 8 across the board. Total in this game, 47.5 to 48, depending on where you're shopping. And since it is on the Eastern Seaboard, 75-degree temperatures. But how about this? Starting the game, mostly cloudy. During the game, heavy rain in Tampa. So buyer beware, guys. This is where I love to, you know, get those shout-outs on Friday just to get the people prepped. Because a lot of people just figure, oh, you know, it's normal weather. It's not really normal weather on the East Coast. We're looking at a lot of rain in some of these forecasts, which could do a lot of damage to those prop bets if you like them. And we're talking about heavy rain in Buffalo as a possibility. That's a 10-point line. Heavy rain in Tampa. That's a 7.5 to 8.5 point line. Get the drift here? Just be careful because rain's not the ultimate equalizer. And some teams playing for more than others, I get it. But it's not pristine. Like, hey, why didn't this guy throw for 250 plus and 2 touchdowns? Well, it was a deluge of rain. That's the reason why. Heading to Philadelphia is the last 1 o'clock game here on Sunday and an important game for the Eagles, who still need one more win to clinch the NFC East and the number 2 overall seed in the NFC. In Philadelphia on Sunday, the Eagles are going to take on the Cowboys. Temperatures, not bad, 60 degrees. Precipitation, which was showing up as pretty heavy early in the week, is now showing at 0% on my radar here. Windy conditions, slightly. 10 to 13 mile an hour winds at Lincoln Financial Field. That's about normal. But if you're going to get 60 and no precipitation, that's going to help the game. Now, TBD listed as the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't Jalen Hurts. Hasn't practiced all week, hasn't shown up to practice all week. Still in concussion protocol. And if the Eagles have their druthers, you probably still think you can win this game with Kenny Pickett, who was banged up in the Washington game with a rib injury. He says he's fine to go in that one. But this line that opened up is the look ahead. Minus 10.5 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Early in the week, for a couple days, it was 9.5. And it was sort of puzzling to me. Like, even if Jalen Hurts was playing, you saw that 9.5, like, boy, that feels like an inflated line. So now you're looking at roughly, let's call it 7s across the board. But a lot of information came out yesterday. The Eagles are the better football team over Dallas. And I said, you know what? Dallas has been playing better football. Defense has been rising to the occasion. You're not going to have to worry about Jalen Hurts. Pickett isn't a great quarterback by any stretch. Played well enough to win last week against Washington, but the defense caved. Jaden Daniels was on one. You couldn't sack the guy. He was making plays with his legs. That's one thing you're not going to get from the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have a banged-up, underperforming offensive line. Rico Dowdle, running back. Serviceable running back. Not electric by any means. Cooper Rush is a statue in the pocket. The Eagles should be able to get home on sacks. And also, the one saving grace you might say against the Eagles, have a pretty good secondary who got beat up a bit last week. But yeah, you're going to have off days. CeeDee Lamb was always going to be a problem. CeeDee Lamb is now on IR and not going to play the final 2 games of the season, which is the right call for the Dallas Cowboys. You don't want to get your superstar players banged up in meaningless games for them. So I find myself looking at this going like, well, how's Dallas going to score? And if you look at the totals, guys, this look ahead line with CeeDee Lamb and possibly Jalen Hurts was 45.5. That is cratered to 38.5 now on Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. That's a pretty crazy drop-off. Now, there's also a couple other things in play. Like, if you're trying to find an angle on the Eagles and the Cowboys, if we get solid weather and somewhat supposedly healthy Kenny Pickett, Saquon Barkley to score an anytime touchdown is minus 250. Why does that light up and why is it so high? Well, Jalen Hurts isn't there. Not going to tush-push Kenny Pickett into the end zone at the one-yard line. Saquon would get those carries. So therefore, instead of Saquon hanging around on that minus 140, minus 150, minus 160 range, he's catapulted up to a minus 250 because Jalen Hurts is not going to be in that game. A.J. Brown plus 160, Rico Dowdle plus 160, Devonta Smith plus 240, Brandon Cooks plus 310. So it's really a crapshoot at wideout who's going to be getting, because the Eagles, again, have a very good secondary and can now say to themselves, we don't have to worry about CeeDee Lamb and focusing on other wideouts who are average at best in guys like Brandon Cook. And you might say, hey, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, that's a steal at plus 160 and plus 240. Is it? Are we letting Kenny Pickett throw multiple times in the red zone? Not too sure of that. So this game does for me trend toward an under, even at 38.5. But the Dallas Cowboys, who had a little bit more scare into me for the Philadelphia Eagles, with CeeDee Lamb coming to play, now without CeeDee Lamb, regardless, it should be a Philadelphia Eagles win at home. It just should be. One team needs it. The other team doesn't. I know they're playing for pride, and Mike McCarthy wants to keep his job next year. I understand that. But I don't think they're going to be good enough to beat the Philadelphia Eagles unless the Eagles just hand the football over. And maybe they will, because Kenny Pickett's passing prop, 171.5. Cooper Rush, 194.5. Passing touchdowns, you are getting crazy numbers. Kenny Pickett to throw two of them, plus 215, which is ridiculous. Cooper Rush to throw one. Now, granted, it's heavily juiced at minus 215, but that's not even a 1.5. That's a half of a touchdown pass. Receiving props in this game. Just listing two pairs right now. It's Ferguson and Cooks on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They don't even want to give any of that away. Rushing props? You want discounts? You ain't getting it here, people, with Saquon Barkley. 111.5 for Barkley. By the way, he might get 30 carries in this game. Goodness, my goodness. NFL Sunday, help us out, please. It's your boy DRS. It's Moneyline. It's a Friday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And down the stretch we come, not only in the show, but in the NFL season. Previewing those Sunday NFL games, started with Saturday. Not a lot of great ones to look forward to. I think you might get some fireworks in that Bengals-Broncos game. Not really in love with Arizona and L.A., or obviously the starting game, which Harbaugh will be fine with a 7-3 victory over Drake May and the New England Patriots. Not a lot of great stuff at 1 o'clock outside of, I guess, the Eagles game just has a little bit of intrigue, so they have to win that game. If not, it goes to the next week. Buffalo Jets, I told you, a lot of rain in that forecast. First three games of the day, abysmal between Indianapolis, New York, Vegas, and New Orleans, and Tennessee, and Jacksonville. 4 o'clock games. Miami, I guess you can say, with a glimmer of hope at 7-8. Tyreek Hill hanging on by a thread. They're playing an awful football team in Cleveland. They, the Dolphins, opened up as a 3.5-point favorite. That now surged to 6.5, so just short of a full touchdown. And a total that opened at 42.5 now sits at 39.5. Rain in the forecast, 45 degrees, windy conditions. Not a great day if you're Miami trying to keep your playoff hopes alive. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to be the starting quarterback for Cleveland. He's awful. That's an awful game. And by the way, only 2 4 o'clock games on Sunday. They're giving you a stinker at 4:05, but they're hoping to give you a banger at 4:25. Game of the day, Green Bay, Minnesota. A lot on the line. You talk about the playoff picture in the NFC. Detroit 13-2 currently holds the tiebreaker over Minnesota. Philadelphia 12-3. Then you have the Rams and the Falcons, who, again, if they win the divisions, it'll be the 3-4 seeds, because you win the division, you get the catapult bump. The Minnesota Vikings are 13-2. The Green Bay Packers are 11-4. The Packers want to stay hot going into the playoffs. They dismantled a really bad Saints team in primetime, as we just watched on Monday Night Football. This line opened up as a 1.5-point favorite towards Minnesota at home. That number's still 1.5 at most outlets, ones even at some outlets. So let's call it roughly a pick'em in this game. Total, 47.5 at the opening number, now sits at 48.5. I just feel all season long, the Minnesota Vikings have gotten so much disrespect coming towards them. If we're looking at the practice reports this week for Minnesota, just based up until yesterday, Fabian Moreau, cornerback, didn't practice all week, but outside of that, pretty healthy. CJ Ham full practices, Pat Jones full practices, Josh Oliver full practices. So they're pretty healthy coming into this one. The Green Bay Packers, on the other hand, Jair Alexander trying to get his way back into the lineup. Full practice Wednesday, limited Thursday, so maybe trending to possibly play. Jenkins, the guard, questionable with a knee injury. Didn't practice on Wednesday, didn't practice on Thursday. But Christian Watson was an interesting one that you did see on that Monday Night Football game. Had the catch go out of bounds and that bang his knee on a hit slash going out of bounds. He hasn't practiced all week with that knee injury. I like it. Does anybody else out there like Minnesota? Like, I like Minnesota in this game at home. The disrespect is constantly real. And my goodness, over the final 2 weeks of the season, could you find a football team that's going to be 15-2 and be a wild card? Like, let's just say Minnesota wins Sunday at 4:25. Let's just say the Monday Night Football game, which is Detroit and San Francisco. San Francisco gets beat. Detroit wins. Both of these teams line up with 14 wins heading into that final week. 15 is going to take it. That's unbelievable, man. But I do like Minnesota. See, Chris Warren in the chat box likes it as well. I think he's got a lot of disrespect. I like Green Bay as a team. They're very good. Look at their record. Solid football team, no doubt. But I just think Minnesota at home has enough to beat the Green Bay Packers, and I think they will. Sunday Night Football monster game. How exciting? We'll find out. Atlanta's going to take on Washington. Penix and Daniels, two rookies. Penix handed the keys to the franchise last week against the New York Giants. Got a victory. Defense scored two touchdowns. They win easy. Washington, with that comeback win against the Philadelphia Eagles, need a victory to clinch their final playoff spot here. I do agree with the line, though. It makes sense. Opened up at 4.5. Now there's 4.5 and 3.5 and 4s across the board. I think that line is right over a field goal, and I do think Washington is the better football team. Atlanta's going to need a big-time effort out of Bijan Robinson, no question in my mind. If Bijan rushes for 80-plus yards and a touchdown, they'll be able to cover that spread against Washington. Playoff game, right? You're going to need to win this game. A lot of close finishes for Washington. They're at home. Would be a great atmosphere. Then at Northwest Stadium, we'll see what happens there. But that'll do it for Moneyline here on a Friday, setting and prepping you for the NFL action Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Not a lot of great games, but there are some meaningful games as we head towards the playoffs, and I can't wait to watch it play out. For Chris behind the wheels of steel, I'm Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission edition of Moneyline. We'll see you guys once again on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.